season's officially changing, and Abercrombie's autumn drop has everything you'll need. Their heritage heavyweight collection is a staple, especially in their archive quality fabrics. Pair it with the baggy trouser and your fit is set. And you can't forget their iconic denim. It's made for everyday plans. Find your autumn capsule at Abercrombie. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
I'm for fat shaming the right people. The right people.
That is now? Right where we start the
yes,
pod
yes,
with Jefferson yeah, yeah, going, yeah, like, yeah. I'm so, for fat shaming. What?
I mean, I'll listen to this. As okay. a former fat kid, I would love to hear about this.
Okay, so.
Because this is what made me a comedian, fat shaming.
Yeah, so look, I'm for fat shaming. Like, professional sports, right, is one of the last places that you can, like, fat shame people,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so recently, you know, I enjoyed my first year of retirement. And one of my buddies, it was, we played in this volleyball tournament called Six Man. And I was getting a little heavy. I was, you know, 250
What's something. Heavy for Richard Jefferson?
252. But it's like fat. Like, I'm not lifting. I'm just like
And
fat.
Also, granted, you're how tall?
I'm 6'7".
Yeah, so 252. Like, if I weighed 252,
oh, yeah, yeah.
that's a little different.
You, roll you down the street.
They would bring back Willy Wonka just because of that.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah,
and you'd like, be the head Oompa.
Yeah, oh, we don't need the blueberry. We just roll Brad down the street, paint his face blue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he a blueberry? Is yeah. he Fatty Smurf? We're
not.
Sure.
We're not sure.
One or the
boy,
other.
Can he be both? That's
this
a fetish.
Is going to trend really well. Yeah. And so my boy, he was really fat, right? Really fat. But he was an athlete. Used to play minor league baseball, like just an athlete growing up.
Yeah.
So I went up to him. I called him and I was like, hey, man, do you have some time? Like, we need to talk. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on? I was like, man, there's just some stuff. Are you alone? And he's like, man, you know, whatever you need, man. What's going on? I was like, you're a fat piece of shit. Right. I was like, you're a fat piece of shit. And I was like, you know what? So am I. Like, so am I right now. So here's the bet, right? Mm-hmm. I know, you know, money is not the same. So what we'll do, you're 1,000 to my 2,000, and we'll see who can lose the most weight in 2 months. So it was like, I want to say it was August, you know, 5th. And I was like, October 1st is our weigh-in date. Right. Mm. So who can lose the most weight in 2 months?
Damn.
Right. Yeah. And he's like my next door neighbor. I've known him since college. It's like my like a brother of mine.
So he didn't take offense to it.
He was dying laughing because
nobody
was a fat
wants
piece
to
of,
hear
he
that.
He was a fat piece of shit.
But guess what, dude? It takes
sometimes
somebody,
you have to hear that.
Yeah.
Dude, totally. I had a buddy who I had to, you know, nudge to go down the sober path. And yeah. And I was like, I had this moment where I was like, dude, he's an adult. I'm an adult. Should I really have to, you know, take responsibility? But then I'm like, dude, sometimes you need to hear it.
Yeah.
And especially from somebody you respect. So
yeah, and that was my guy. And so it was like one of those things where it's like I needed to lose weight. Like, if I would have started the basketball season at 253, the next step.
Because you've been Baker shit.
Yeah,
man.
Because you're traveling, you're eating, you're in green rooms, you're just like sitting around, like you're working crazy hours. So you're going to gain 8 to 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden next, I'm like pushing 260, and the winter comes, and I work in New York. So it's a lot harder to, like, you're not just riding your bike.
Right. You're
your
not
couch.
Going outside.
Yeah.
You're
just
inside
in
the whole time.
Eating and Uber Eats and shitty hours. Yeah. So it's like,
it's a thing where you don't realize how hard it is for, like, when you see actors and actresses, and until I really started being on sets, I'm like, oh, they're just feeding you all day.
Yeah, all day.
How the fuck do they expect you to be like?
And there's just food there.
Thin.
I can't imagine what craft services. You know, I was telling you, we played in the NBA Celeb All-Star game last year. And
by the way, great shirt. I'm not trying to interrupt, but that's
dude. I feel like I'm 37. I feel like I got maybe 2 more years to wear this.
Yeah, yeah.
As a 40-year-old dude in this shirt, something about it doesn't add up.
Yeah,
to me.
I'm 39. It looks like you're
but
like
you look like
that's
you're
like
15.
The starter. That's like the starter kit for trying to get young.
If
kids.
Starter started.
They're like a starter kit. They're like, how long can
if
I wear
was
like,
about to
reading
go off on
Rainbow?
If,
and you're just like,
you, you remember this show? Yeah, you don't?
You
I got
don't?
All the DVDs
hey,
in my house.
Do you want a book?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If there was a Halloween costume that said pedophile starter
kit. Oh, my God. Reading Rainbow. Lots
you know what?
Of candy.
Fuck you guys. This is one of my favorite shirts, and now it's not.
Take a look. It's in a book. The
Dude,
Reading Rainbow.
I make the kids sing that.
Take a look. It's in my pants.
What? You go along with a little Pied Piper, like just like whistling that. that through a flute.
Somewhere LeVar Burton is just.
Yes.
NBA Celebrity Game.
NBA Celebrity Game. Yeah. So the snacks they had in the, even in the back, like Brett and I were like, Jesus Christ, they had like, I didn't realize Gatorade was like,
granola
fucking,
bars.
Like, you could shoot up some fucking
straight sugar.
I mean, it was, but they had bars, they had like everything back there. So I was like, this is the celeb game. And like, I see like Ray Allen walking by being like, I don't eat that shit. And I was like, yeah, me neither, Ray. We got the same body, man. But like, it was so much even for that. So I can't imagine post games.
Well, post game stuff because you're burning so many calories. But like, as a retired player, right? Like, we were strict, but we were like 2 hours of practice and like, not even just the running, but the physical contact that you're doing, that burning calories. And so for me, like, I work in New York primarily, right? Doing ESPN, doing Net Brooklyn.
You crush
that
it,
stuff.
By the way, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get
Thank you
that.
Very much. But but think about it, like, I'm on a plane like 6 hours. So it's like, they just sit there. Here's a meal. Yep. Would you like more drinks? Yep. Here's some snacks. And you're like, you're 6 hours watching movies and television shows.
You can't
you're just
do
like,
anything.
Yeah, you're just like, yes, give me more food. And then next thing you know, you're fat.
Yeah, they should be passing out like dumbbells to people like, hey, do some curls while you're just sitting there.
Somebody was like, well, you know, one thing that I've done with my travels, I try not to eat on planes. That's fucking
impossible.
6 hours?
Dude, the food that I prep and bring on an LA to New York flight, especially like a red eye.
Did you say you prep food?
Well, like, I'll bring a sandwich.
That's adorable.
I don't prep it. I mean, like, I bring it. I prepare to eat it. I prepare to eat it.
Adam's in the kitchen. Adam's in the kitchen with his chef hat and his Reading Rainbow shirt and a kid duct taped in the corner. And that's what he's doing.
How dare you? His name's Caleb and he's quiet. Who would you see? Like, obviously, Shaq comes to mind as like one of the guys who could just eat anything because he was burning so much stuff and still. But like, had an appetite. Was there certain guys that burned that many calories but couldn't go to town because their bodies just weren't adding up? Or?
No, there's a lot of guys, right? There's a lot of guys.
Metabolism.
And your metabolism, and as you get older, you see that. And when guys are super young, they spend their whole first part of their career trying to bulk up, right? You look at what Giannis has done. You look at what Bron did at the beginning. And then next thing you know, Detlef Schrempf, huge, right?
Huge.
Ben Baker, just trying to
just
like
Jack,
just,
Michael
like,
Cage, if you really
that.
Want to get into it.
Oh, yeah, we'll go with the Jerry curl. We'll talk about the curl in a second, right? But then all of a sudden, you see them get later in their career and then they try and lose weight, right? Because it's that pounding and you're like, okay, now I need to slim up. Dwight Howard. Is like as skinny as he's ever been because you're trying to get some of that lift back. You're trying to lighten the load on your joints. So it's like you just have this evolution of guys, and you see it now because we watch it so much for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Guys are super skinny because they get drafted in 19. Right. Then they spend that first part of their career trying to build weight. Giannis is fucking huge.
He's jacked now, dude.
Jack
adds a whole another arsenal.
A whole another arsenal,
game, right?
But I guarantee you,
it's gonna slow him down.
No, not slow down because right now he's at his peak. But when he hits 30, 31, he's gonna want to like shrink
slim down again,
and slim down again. So that's just the evolution.
So do we all just have to hire Tom Brady's trainer and then
not
we can play forever?
Avocado ice cream. Fuck Tom Brady. I'll just accept heart disease. I'm really honest at this point in time. I'm not doing avocado
now,
ice cream.
Now, because according to your Wikipedia page, and I looked this up, like, you're not, you unretired, right?
That was, like, I retired when we won a championship. I retired when I won a championship. That lasted a good 48 hours.
Sure.
Because they told me they were going to pay me more money to come back. And I thought we were going to be the best team and we would win a championship again. Then fucking Kevin Durant, that stud, went to Golden State.
Now, when that happens, dude, you guys around the league talk the same way we saw on, like, the Talking Head shows where everyone's like, dude, like, you joined the guys that you were trying to beat, or
you know,
do you see
what
he's
say.
Doing?
I was never a great player. Mm-hmm. I think that's more
of
a conversation.
Well,
no, I was a very good player. Okay. I was a very good player.
Which,
not a great,
in the NBA.
Yeah, a very good player.
Like, I feel like I'm a pretty good 24-hour fitness player.
And you probably are,
thank
right?
You.
But thank I will you. Say this. That's a conversation for the great players to have,
okay.
right? That are trying, like, battling each other for legacy, whether it's LeBron or Steph or Kobe or like that's an MJ. Like those are the conversations for those guys. The next level of guys are like, well, fuck it. That's unfair. It's like when Ray Allen went to the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
You're just like,
I know. Or the Celtics even.
Yeah, yeah. Even it's like, yo, there's, yeah, what are we gonna do? We're just out here battling for second. Like, that's it.
You really think that, huh?
Well, when that happened, I knew we had a chance, but it was like those guys were so good, and Kevin is so good.
They were good without him, man. And it was. And do you get annoyed when you hear the people that are? And I just saw you. I think it was on The Jump. go to what's the guy in the Clippers? Big hair.
Montrez.
Yeah, and you were dude, and this is why I love you on the shows and why you're so good. A, you're just a good conversationalist, but you just like shoot people straight, and you also can relate to players and non-players. But you were like, dude, come on, be straight with me. When you got Kawhi and PG, you were like, all right, if we don't make it to the finals, I think you said it's a wash of a season. And he was like, I mean, you know, like it's a, it'd be cool to get there. You're like, no. It's a wash of a season. Yeah, and he was like, I mean, we'll make the playoffs probably. And you're like, dude, it's, and he was like, yeah, it's fucking, it'll be a bummer. Like, it'll be, it won't matter.
Well, and look, I have no problem with him, you know, as he's still a young player and he's very, very good. I have no problem with him saying that externally. But inside that locker room, I know the truth. Like, you got a guy like Paul George, one of the most versatile, one of the best players in the league. And then you got Kawhi, who's a two-time champion, you know, two-time finals MVP.
Only going to get better.
Only going to get better. Yeah. And this is the thing. It's like, dude, inside that locker room, if you don't win a championship, and it doesn't mean that you can get to the finals and you lose a battle, oh, our season was shitty, but if you guys lose in the second round, if you guys don't make the conference finals and your team is primarily healthy, that's a failure of a season. Yeah. And that's not to say that you guys are failures, but you have to recognize your own ceiling first and say, like, every day we're going to practice. Every day I'm going to eat right. Every day we're going to focus because that's our final goal. And if you don't have that focus, then sometimes you fall short and that's how you become, you know, disappointed.
But now when you have teams like that, is there is there everyone on board, or are there guys where you got to really like pick them up and be like, come on, like, we have a goal here.
Yes, very rarely. And even, and again, you look at Golden State, like Kevin Durant, you know, was having an all-time historic run in the postseason this year.
Yeah.
Injuries is something that can derail your team. Like, I love Toronto. I will tip my hat to them. They would not have won the championship. If Klay Thompson would have been healthy throughout, that's probably a seven-game series.
Why do people sleep on Klay as being like – they don't, do they? I don't know.
Not in the conversations you have. No one that we're playing with is like, this dude is – like Klay and Steph and even Kevin, there's few players that you can do everything right and they still make a shot.
Yeah.
Like, that's frustrating.
Because what? Just
– Because it's just – it's put that in the, quick, the it's that good. Yeah. It's not even reps. Like, it's just a natural ability to do things that no one else can do. And they just all happen to be on the same team.
I mean, he had a – was it a knee injury before he tore his
– Ankle.
I think that he was playing with when he scored 31 before, right?
Yeah, and then he tore his ACL, and he thought he was fine. He just thought, like, it hurt. He tried to come back and play, and then
he
after
hit, like,
this,
two free throws, yeah, and he was like, nope.
No, this is not. And then all of a sudden...
You got lucky with injuries in your career, right? To kind of stay
away. I was very
fortunate.
That's a big part of it, right? Huge part of it. And that's the thing. It's like, yo, you don't ever want to crit. It's like Boogie Cousins, you know, and we're going to talk about on the court.
Yeah.
What he's dealing with on the court, that's tough. Isaiah Thomas, like lots of guys. Yao Ming, look at the history of sports.
Dude, Brandon Roy.
Seattle
boy.
Sure. Yeah.
That one, I mean, like, there are so many cases of that.
Yeah, Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right? And like, you can't avoid it, can you?
No.
You can train and prep. There's
one thing about being a professional athlete is – whether it's in baseball, where it's the, you know, 160 games, basketball, it's the ability to handle what being a professional means. If Brandon Roy had 30-game seasons, he would have played 15 years. Oh, but the fact that you got to play 82 games
he's
and then the playoffs.
He's on a squad that needs him so many minutes, right?
Yeah. But think about him, Dame Lillard. He's eating up every one of those minutes every night, taking his team to the postseason. And there's not a disrespect to Brandon. It's not anything that it's his fault. But Dame Lillard is better equipped to handle that than Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
And Brandon Roy was special.
Yeah.
So like when are there teams out there that know the guys are like, okay, you cannot play 82. So we're gonna curtail your minutes. Like I know Pop does that a lot on like back-to-back nights where he doesn't want his stars playing in that second game because he wants to keep them fresh for the playoffs. Like, is that a real thing?
Yeah, that's a real thing from the standpoint of like guys. It's like you might have some guys that have had injury things, right? Mm. And even Chris Paul, how many years have we seen him get hurt at the end of the season?
Yeah.
And this is a man, and one thing that people don't understand, especially in the postseason when you see reoccurring injuries, you never go as hard as you possibly can until that moment in the postseason, right? You'll go, every player might go 80%, might go 85% depending on the game. But once you get to the postseason, it is 100%, 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And so then that's when you start to see the hamstrings. That's
why
they're best. You see the hamstrings, you see all these things popping up. And it's just, it's, you try and conserve guys because you don't want to push them, but it's still when you get into that deep, deep fire, like in the postseason, that's when you see it.
It's also kind of an interesting thing to do that because you're, I guess, training your body to almost go at 80%. And then when you ramp it up, expecting your body just to catch up, right? And like not have muscles flare up.
Well, that's what we're talking about, fat shaming, because it's like, yo, if you're carrying an extra 8 pounds, it might not kill you in December. It might not kill you in January. But when you're going against somebody that is in peak physical condition and you're having to play 40 minutes chasing them around, eventually you can't hit a shot.
Yeah.
Your legs are exhausted because they're so it's like that 10, 12 pounds, that 8 pounds, like that stuff catches up to you. So you're allowed to fat shame people.
I mean, and my boy Sean Kemp was able to play still at almost 300 for a couple years, which was crazy. When he was on Portland and still hitting jumpers and still getting the lane, I was like, dude, you see how you're doing it at this size? Drop maybe 30 to 40 and like to still be doing it. That shows you how crazy of an athlete he was.
He was amazing. I think that's the one thing that's probably keeping him out of the Hall of Fame, right? Mm. Had he
made even two more dope years,
he'd be a Hall of Famer because he was like the first high school kid. I know, he was a rain.
Yeah, what'd you think of him seeing coming out?
Dog, like Sean Kemp, like, so my favorite dunkers until Vince came along before, because I was still in college, so I was like Vince, and then we became teammates. It was Dominique Wilkins and Sean Kemp. Like that long windmill. Like I did windmills basically because I loved Sean Kemp and I loved Dominique. Like, those are my two favorite guys.
Those are dunkers that it just seems like if they pulled some dunks in a game, like it would demoralize the other team.
Yes.
Stuff
that you would do in a dunk contest and practice, they were doing.
And MJ, you don't disrespect MJ. Yeah. MJ is MJ. He's MJ. But MJ was like dunking on people, the fadeaway. Like Dominique and Sean Kemp were just physical specimens that were like trying to break the rim anyone in its way.
Yeah.
Right? And so like, I don't think MJ was like that. MJ was like, I want to go take down the big fella.
Yeah.
I have some sexy shit that no one else can do.
Yeah.
That's MJ. Dominique and Rain Man were trying to obliterate everything.
They're trying to make posters. Yeah.
They're
kids'
trying
rooms
to make posters
that I would eventually kidnap. Yeah.
Is there something to that, to where, like, because we had Blake Griffin on the podcast, and obviously he's a big dunker.
Blake
like,
is one of them.
Can those dunks, if you're on the other end of that, can that just kind of shut you down for a few minutes?
Well, yes. Like, I'll say this. More timeouts are called after dunks than anything else. Because a dunk is a complete break in your defense, right?
Yeah.
It's not a layup. It's not a floater. It's like a guy just went through the most crucial part of the game. We're trying to stop him from there. He went in there and just, it wasn't like he obliterated. Like, yes,
which
you
is
call
great
timeout.
For the fans because you get the instant replay. But for the player, it's like now you have more time to sit on the bench and kind of wipe the nut sweat off your face.
And guys start doing this. Like, you start hitting your
team. Yeah, I was going to say,
you start hitting your guy. Yeah, yeah. Now, and especially because I came in, it was like pre-social media. Now, guys, if you get a dunk in the first quarter, like the guy's going to halftime and like, yo, look at this. Like showing, like, guys are looking at house
Isn't
highlights.
Crazy,
ESPN, everyone's looking at this stuff at halftime, being like, oh, like, yo, look at this. Look at this. This is what we're doing before the coaches come in. Like,
that can hurt. That can hurt and help your image, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because some of that stuff can go viral. I mean, it's not like you're not going to lose a contract because of dunk.
No, because you know the crazy thing now is it's everything is viral now, right? Like a dunk now or a crossover is viral. It's always going to, because it's like, it'll go house of highlights, house of hoops.
Sure.
You know, ESPN, Bleacher Report. All of these things go down, and then the news cycle will change the next day, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, it'll be another dunk and another sub.
Which, by the way, is an incredible advantage that the NBA has like welcomed and embraced, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that like
we don't fight people for footage.
What's that?
They don't fight people for footage.
No, dude. No. But like Ronnie 2K having him on, and he was talking about that with the game, even and the players tweeting things out and talking about the game. I was like, social media and hoops have really like found an incredible relationship.
So I was on.
And you're a fucking great example of that.
I was on the team where Charlie Villanueva was the first person to tweet in the middle of a game. He had a bad first half. He had a bad first half, and he tweeted. Now, again, no one really knew who Twitter was. Like, Twitter was like, it was there, but it was still, again, this was in 08, maybe 09, right? So he tweets like, hey, tough first game, got to pick it up in the second half. Because that was like, okay, you just tweet things, right?
Yeah.
Whatever characters.
Yeah.
NBA, and he goes out, has a great second half. And then it goes everywhere. ESPN is like, yo, Charlie Villanueva tweeted at halftime. And then the NBA came up with a new rules. And everyone was like, what's Twitter? And then Twitter was like, psh. because it was like, that was, and I'm not saying that's why Twitter became successful by any means. I'm just saying this brought it to a consciousness that it hadn't reached yet. And then it started to blow up. And then because the NBA made rules about social media saying you can't tweet up to 30 minutes after a game and stuff like that. Wow. So once you start making rules about it, then it started to kind of snowball.
Man, and it's interesting because I was going through your social media when we were prepping for this interview, and
look at you doing the work.
Of course, but like I see like Kevin Emil Love Pod Preps like commenting on your shit, and like you see the other NBA players. So like you guys are in that network. You guys are definitely looking at it, looking at each other's stuff.
And I look at it just to talk shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when I troll in like random ways, and so I have to be very careful. So I will admit, like, as much as I've been active, I didn't join Instagram till about a year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't join Twitter till like just this past April.
And well, that's fine. OJ just joined Twitter. Yeah, so you're not, you know.
You and him.
Everyone's late to the game.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Hey, question for you. You know when you find something immediately become that annoying friend that's like, hey, have you tried this yet? Well, that's me with Loreen. I started with the gum because I'm a coffee guy, and apparently my teeth and I have not always been on the same team, but now they got these Loreen pouches, and I've been reaching for them before recording a pod, driving in the car, or whenever I need a little boost without another cup of coffee. All you do is you just tuck one in and go about your day. Each pouch has 50 milligrams of caffeine, about a half a cup of coffee, plus L-theanine and alpha GPC for smooth, steady focus with no energy crash. It comes in mint, cinnamon, and mango, and it's nicotine free, baby. Always put the pouch in your mouth and feel better about yourself. Every other pouch out there makes you pick between something that helps you focus and something that's actually good for your teeth. This is the only one that's designed to do both, and it comes from a brand that's leading the way of supporting your oral health. Give Loreen a try right now. Loreen Co. is offering my listeners 50% off at buyloreen.com/ALN. Did you hear me right? That's buyloreen, LAREINE.com/ALN for 50% off. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good deal. Steady your focus, increase your energy, and live a better life today with Loreen.
You deserve to feel good in your body this summer. That's why Weight Loss by Hers now offers access to the FDA-approved Wegovy pill and Wegovy pen, designed to help you lose weight and keep it off. With Wegovy at Hers, you can lose up to 20% of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/now to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/now. forhers.com/now. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The season's officially changing, and Abercrombie's Autumn Drop has everything you'll need. Their Heritage Heavyweight Collection is a staple, especially in their archive-quality fabrics. Pair it with the baggy trouser, and your fit is set. And you can't forget their iconic denim. It's made for everyday plans. Find your autumn capsule at Abercrombie. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
The juice. So it's like, I'm still learning how to do it, but I do enjoy, like, because my teammates know my personality. And so, like, when they post something and I talk shit, like, it makes them laugh. Yes, it's public, but it's like, it's more just to fuck with my boys.
How important is it to being not only in the NBA, but now obviously with the podcast Road Tripping, which, as I was telling you, man, one of my favorite pods. Oh, the
thank
shit.
You, thank you.
And I also feel like you
and Channing Frye.
Yeah, man, you guys, I feel like, have definitely pioneered. I mean, you tell me which ones came before and after, but I feel like
nothing
right?
Before, nothing
when I saw it, I was like, oh, and I was like, why hasn't this happened?
We were the
30
first.
Years ago.
We were the first.
Yeah.
We were the first. And it was, again, it's all timing. And I wanted to start it, and I can't. Channing Frye was supposed to be the first guest. Like, you know, we grew up. That's one of my closest friends. Yeah. We grew up together. And
that AZ squad was, I mean, too, also.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then Allie Clifton, I was like, hey, let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. She got permission from Fox Sports. Then I was like, Channing can be our guest. So Channing comes on. We do like one like practice one. We're shitty at it. You know, it takes a while to get your rhythm. Then the very next time we're in our trainer's room and Kyrie comes knocking on the door. Because the trainer's room have a bigger room because that's where guys get treatment.
Yeah, sure.
Kyrie comes knocking on the door. Say, hey, what are you guys doing? I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just came to get some Advil. What are you doing? I was like, oh, we're recording a podcast. He's like, all right, I'll sit in. And we were like, all right,
you hadn't even thought of that as an option, huh?
Well, it was,
it was the first one. Yeah,
it was like the first or second one. Yeah. So we were like, well, we were going to ease our teammates into it. We wanted to be like, hey, you want to be a guest? And so once Kyrie sat down, and it was fun.
Wait, was that the pod where he went flat earther?
That was a couple pods later. He went flat earther. Okay, yeah, that was honestly, it was probably like two or three podcasts later, and then again, it was very similar to the Twitter, right, where it was like local people kind of knew, but once that flat earth shit, it just blew it up.
Yeah,
and people were like, "What the fuck is road tripping? Are these guys really saying this shit on?"
Well,
on
dude,
air?
It gave fans like this amazing insight into you guys hanging out and talking like people, and not seeing you in post or pre interviews, and you have people, you and Channing, that like are able to bring the best out of people, and that everybody like clearly, and that's what I wanted to ask too. Like, I don't feel like everyone is as personable and as easygoing as like you and GP and Blake, and able to like be comfortable in their own skin and do this type of stuff, right? Is it kind of, I mean, what percentage of the guys?
Well,
you feel
I think one of the, okay, so Channing and I, like, I wanted to do media stuff, right?
Always,
like, so
yeah.
Not always, but I kind of leaned towards it. I avoided social media because I have random thoughts, and so I try and keep everything to myself.
Yeah,
sure. So I avoided social media, but I was like, oh, this is a good way to get some reps. If I want to, because I'm going to be retiring soon. We started it in my 15th season. So I was like, I'm going to be retiring soon. This will be a cool way to get some easy reps, and I can interview my guys.
Yeah.
But I think when you get players sitting down talking to each other, they're
no cameras.
No cameras and anything. It takes them, they makes them so much more relaxed. So you get content that you wouldn't get. And everything on ESPN, you can do a Sunday conversation with somebody. You're not finding out their favorite cereal. You're not going on these random stories that you would never, ever get.
Dude.
So it was something that we kind of, I don't want to say stumbled on, but we've quickly found out that like fans were like hungry for
it. Well, because we're tired of the post game press conferences and like
both teams played hard.
Yes.
Also, you're not going to tell a reporter, you're going to tell Mark Stein what really happens on the banana boat, you know?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And it was cool because we did a lot of different things. Like, we recorded on a plane.
Yeah.
So we were the first ones.
Yeah,
that, like,
great.
We, like, played Boston, flying to Atlanta, and we're like, so, tonight's game, you sucked in the third quarter. What the hell is wrong with you?
Dude,
and it was like, and it was like, people were like, and we're like, hey, guys, sorry for the audio. We're on a plane. And it was like, yo, even to this day, I don't think that that's ever been done.
No.
We had to cut it because our training staff, because like we were in their kind of cubby area, because they had an open table, and they're like, listen, idiots, like this is the only time for us to sleep. And it was, so we did it like three or four times, and we had to kill it.
Sure.
But it was like, you know, we had five or six guys. I remember one podcast where we were just passing the mic, and it was Tristan, JR, Bron, and Kyrie, everyone just back there telling stories. And it was like an inside look, and then now you see so many podcasts.
Come on,
you know,
JJ.
Well, JJ was the first. I'll say JJ was the first.
Well, yours are the first I knew about. So.
But JJ, what he did is because I kind of like his was like a radio interview, so he would get a person and sit down.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in season. He only did it during the off season, and that was kind of like his thing. And he was very like one on one. Ours was like, this is the Cleveland Cavaliers. You guys ready for a ride?
Yeah,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, so it was fun.
It was like a podcast version of Hard Knocks almost.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Once you
was.
Got Bron on, too, I mean, for me, it was like, obviously the Kyrie one, but I was like, are you fucking, I saw it in the title in the feed. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Because he's also so careful and so calculated with everything that he does, you know, because he's under that microscope.
Yeah, yeah.
So to have him just sit down on the plane and be like, sure.
Yeah, whatever. And
what
the
cool
thing
about?
That we do and we've always offered, and we said like, hey, we want real content, not clickbait, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of players never get that opportunity to sit down. So there's been many of things that we edited out, right? Kyrie, we edited stuff out. Bron, we've edited stuff out. We'd send it to them and be like, hey, this is what it is. Like, is there any part that you want to edit? And we know, like, hey, we'll edit that out. So you guys can cuss.
Yeah.
You can say the N-word. You can say anything that you want.
Sure.
And we'll cuss. We'll edit it out. We'll bleep it out so that the content there is authentic and real, but you don't have to stress about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's been, trust me, if unedited shit was
that.
Put out there, that would, because we also know that that would be the end of our teammates talking to us. Because they were like, yo, no, I'm not. Last time I sat with you, man, like, nah, man, I had to answer questions for 2 months. That's not what you want.
Can you just call it the J.R. Smith rule?
Yeah. Well, you know, I promise you, I would say this. In order of people that we had to edit, it was probably Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. Timmy Dunk.
No, Timmy was great.
He's got a disdain for the Jews, apparently.
I stand
that was one of my favorite episodes of all time of any podcast.
That was my hardest get. We got off the plane and went into a separate car and drove to the Spurs practice facility because Tim gave us like an hour window. And it was like, if we go to the hotel and then come. And and Tim is a good friend of mine. Yeah. But I was like, yo, guys, Tim Dunk. And people, I remember seeing on Twitter, people were like, this is not a drill. Tim Duncan is on the road tripping podcast. He's going to talk.
And so good,
dude.
He's
so fucking funny.
Like, after that episode, I was like, oh, is this the start of the Tim Duncan spinoff podcast?
He's so funny. Right? And that's something that... And that's
Blake said the same thing about him.
And he's fucking hilarious. It's such a dick. He is such a dick. And, like, I take it well, right, in the sense of not dicks, but I take it well in the sense of, like, I take it people talk shit and when people, you can fire at me. And so, like, he loved that because we used to go back and forth and sit next to each other.
Right.
And Tim's one of those people that if you talk to him about anything other than basketball, he's excited. Cars, video games, like comic books. His lights up. Talking about basketball, he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's good. I had a good career. And you're like, fuck off, dude.
That's what he does all the time. I have to imagine. But, I mean, how do most players? Because, you know, even when I met you at the Robot Chicken Party, and which that was dope, by the way.
That was so awesome.
Wasn't that dope?
I was literally telling my wife. So Devin Harris was there. Devin Harris was there. We met up. So both of us know Seth Green really well.
Cool.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, Seth, I met in 2004 in New York. We used to play ping pong in my house, and we've just been friends for years.
Is that like a remake of My Giant? I don't know what it was between you and Seth Green.
I remember, I'll never forget. Like, somebody came and I was in like the back room, and they were like, "Is Seth Green in your apartment playing ping pong, talking shit to people?" And I was like, "Oh, Seth's here. Cool.
Yeah.
Tell him I'll be out in a minute." Yeah. Right. And I was like, "But he's just you guys know Seth.
He's been on the pod. He's the best."
Most awkwardly nice individual that I maybe have ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I got this invite, whatever, but my wife and Devin were talking and I'm like telling them to shut the fuck up because I'm so locked in at everything.
It was cool.
Right? It was so cool. And I was so happy for them 10 years and, you know, to be doing what they were doing. Like, even when we got out and they had the shirts, right? Yeah. I was like, babe, do you want a shirt? She's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, yeah, we'll take 2XL. She wants an XL. She wants an XL.
By the way, one of those actresses on stage nearly decapitated my wife with that damn T-shirt cannon.
It was no joke.
Yeah,
like those cannons.
She was like pointing it down. And what like,
shirt
is this
was
safety?
It? Was it the shirt that they gave away?
Well, we didn't get it because my wife was too busy ducking. Yeah, and it's like the person behind us got it.
Is that one of the shows? And like, what do like when you guys are on the road and stuff? Is there time? Blake was telling us like once the season starts because you know we're talking about having an off season and what do you do and how do you, he's like I'm trying to. You know, find ways to enjoy the summer more because the season starts and it's so regimented about what you eat, what you do, free time. So like, are there shows, movies, or on planes? How do you?
Yeah. So for me, I try not to watch movies during the summer, right? I try not to watch movies during the summer because I know I'm gonna be sitting on a plane. So I'll watch shows, I'll watch movies that might have come out, unless it's like one that I gotta go see, like a John Wick, one of the Marvel movies. Like if it's something that's Air Bud 27, like Space Jam 4. Like those are the ones that you gotta go see. But for the most part, I try not to watch any of that stuff. I'll wait till shows have almost all the way done. Like the first episode of Game of Thrones I watched in real time was the finale. First one. So like I saw in the last like 2 years I caught up on Game of Thrones.
There you go.
And then like the last season I watched like the week before and then first episode real time
was
the finale.
Good way to do it. How was it?
It was awesome. It was
Don't spoil it. I'm going to watch it in 10
years. Yeah. I'm not a Game of Throner. I'm not one of those people that every Sunday was waiting on it.
Sure.
So like for me, I was like, that's a cool ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could, but everybody else was just like,
I think I heard, was it you and D Wade and Chan talking about American Vandal or was it?
Yeah. So it was like everybody has their own thing. And a lot of times guys will just kind of talk. And like there's a lot of things that like I haven't seen. Like I haven't seen the final season of Breaking Bad. I know. I haven't seen the final season of Mad Men. Those are like my two ones, right?
And like so two great
I just
shows ever.
Get to places and then I just like, all right, season's over. And then I stop. And then the next season, I'll end up starting something else.
Right. And also so many bus trips. And now with everything on the phone, right, there's probably like, how much on the bus is it like, Do you want to chum it up and shoot the shit versus like, yo, I'm going to lock in on my phone?
It depends. If you're landing someplace and you're trying to go out. It depends on what city you're going to. It depends on what time you're getting in. If it's one of those like 3 a.m. flights where you land at 3, people on the bus just kind of like in their own world.
Yeah,
just
right.
Get us to the hotel. Get me to our room. What time's breakfast in the morning? But we have so much that. And that's why we started road tripping, because like people don't understand. Like, and even for, as a young kid and as a rookie, this is what happens, right? And I know you guys have probably heard the story, but for the people at home, this is what happens. You land. Let's say you're the Lakers, and you fly to Portland. Mm-hmm. You might have practice in the morning. You get on the plane at 12. You land up there at 3, and they say, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
So you got
fuck
the whole night.
The whole night.
Just do whatever.
Well, you can play video games. You can go to dinner. You can go see your family. You can go see friends. You can do whatever. 10 a.m., that's it. So at 10 a.m., you have shoot-around, right?
Yeah.
You go to shoot-around. You go to practice. And a lot of teams have kind of gotten rid of shoot-around because of mm-hmm. load management.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's not a sexual statement.
Yeah.
And then what they did. I actually stole
Please
that
tell
joke.
Me that's a Popovich
I joke. Stole that joke from Katie Nolan. Katie Nolan, always late.
Go
check
nice,
it out.
Dude.
Love you, Katie.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Yeah, so I stole that joke. It just aired. But no, so then like, so you have shoot around at 10, but let's say shoot around goes to 11:30.
Yeah.
They're like, all right guys, bus is at 5.
And you got 5 more hours.
You got 5 more hours. That's it. And then you play a game. And then the next day, let's say you might have an off day. The next day, let's say you fly to Oklahoma City. Or let's pick a better city.
Ooh.
Let's say you fly to,
Charlotte.
That's a shitty city.
Yes.
let's say you fly.
Miami.
No, you got to go shorter flight.
Okay.
You got to go shorter flight.
Okay.
San Francisco. Let's say you go from Portland to San Francisco. That's a normal trip.
Yeah. There you go.
So you're San Francisco, right? And it could be an off day. So you'll fly after the game. You'll get in at like 1 o'clock. And they'll be like, guys, tomorrow off, practice for the bus at 10 a.m. the next day. And it's like, you got a good.
Is there a curfew?
No curfew, no nothing.
Yeah.
But now it's professional sports. So like your money and your job is all based off of like, your performance. So if you're raging all night, your performance isn't going to be well,
right.
And neither will be your paychecks.
So during that time, are like guys trying to like hit up the gym? Are those
guys are doing different things?
Yeah.
Guys are working out in the morning, working out, doing little things. Like you don't. Yeah. Like, again, we're still professionals, but
sure.
Like professionals also like to push limits on both ends.
Come on,
of the candle.
Man, dude. MJ classically in that Dream Team documentary was like. I mean, just going balls to the wall, dude,
and, Dream
and
Team,
still crushing
and
it.
And Dream Team is different because they were just obliterating.
Yeah, and they knew they were all good.
There was no team to this day as greatest team ever assembled.
Mike was probably going at 45% and still dominating.
He did
right?
not care. He did not care. And it was like, this is the thing about like USA basketball that struggled. Because of the Dream Team, right? And this is one thing that people don't understand about the game of basketball. Let's say 500 million more people play basketball today mm-hmm. than they did, right? Like in 92.
Right.
Sure.
Because the game is bigger in China. It's bigger in Brazil. It's grown in all these places. It's more of a global game.
Yeah.
And that's what that 92 Dream Team did. So now when you're talking about being the best player in the world now, there's a lot more people that play the game.
Yeah.
And in 20 years, there's going to be a lot more people that play in the game. So it's like the pool keeps getting bigger when you're talking about being the best player. And that's something that the Dream Team started.
How do you guys stop from laughing when someone tweets at you like, dude, the professor from N1 could totally take you guys in the league.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys just
no,
kind of like.
No, because you know, people need to understand, too. Like, anywhere you walk, like, people might not even say anything to you. Like, man, I could dunk on you. And it's like, that's just part of it. And I, like, again, I avoided social media for a long time. But a lot of guys, you know, there are a lot of players that are famously known for just going back at people. And and it's just everyone's different. Everyone's got a different kind of temperament. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's pit bulls and then there's bulldogs. Right,
yeah,
they're pit bulls and then bulldogs.
Some of
like,
my
some
favorite
are...
clips were like of Brian Scalabrine showing up to the playground and fucking owning all the streetball players.
People don't know. Like,
yeah,
this is one thing that I've always said. You don't know how good you have to be just to suck in the NBA.
Yeah.
Right. Just to suck. Just to be like, yo, he like people were like Andy Dalton, no disrespect. He had a rough night last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
sure.
Do you know if Andy Dalton were to go into college right now, he would win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah.
Right? Like that's how good Andy Dalton is,
just
right?
Be owning people.
He would be owning people, but people don't understand how good you have to be. So if you were to put a Brian Scalabrine, if you were to put anybody and just go, hey, we're gonna go put you in a men's league, they'd be one of the best players. And people don't professionalism also means showing up, being a good teammate. Like, guys will last so much longer in the league if they just do all the things that they need to do. That's part of being a professional. It's not just your skill set.
Well, because like you later in your career when like you were brought to the Cavs and stuff like that, like, yes, you would contribute, but all the talking heads were like, he's a locker room guy.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Is that something that you built throughout your career? Was that a plan, or and is that something that's truly legit that a team needs?
It's so important. Chemistry is so important, and you hear it all the time when these teams have guys that change. For me and Channing Frye, James Jones, it wasn't just me on that Cavs team, but a lot of it has to do with, hey, look, it's not just accepting your role. It's accepting your role with enthusiasm, right? Like, that is a big, big thing. Like, a lot of people are like, all right, fine, I'll come off the bench, right? That's one. Or it's like, all right, I'll come off the bench. This is what I'm going to do for you guys, like, because I care and I've bought in. Like, you said the exact same thing, but you did it in a different way. Yeah. And I think that's when people talk about Carmelo deserving another chance.
I was about to ask about Melo.
Carmelo has humbled himself and he's willing to accept that role. But now he's in a different space. And again, he's a great, great all-time player, Hall of Famer. But sometimes it's hard for guys to accept those roles. Me, I was a very good player, never a great player. So when my
started for a long time.
So when my career got to a spot of like, all right, like either I could just call it a day or I can accept being a role player and just trying to mentor young guys and doing the things that are needed. I might play one day. I might play for 2 weeks straight and then not get a DMP. Those are things that, as much as it's an ego shot, if you want to have a chance to be on a championship team, those are things that I sacrifice.
Dude, sometimes I feel like the 6 and 7 guys coming into the game are more memorable and more integral to the entire squad. Like when my Supes had Vladimir Radmanovic and he won the 6-man, dude, I mean, games would be won and lost by him changing the course of what was happening. And it was like, oh, dude, like obviously like starting 5 is doing their thing, but you're like, you need, like, at some point, guys are going to get tired and people need to come in. And you, I mean, were consistently just bringing in like energy.
And it was like the only reason why, like going back to that 16 final, the only reason why I got to start when Kevin Love went out and got hurt is because I played garbage minutes in game 1 and game 2. We got blown out by 20 points. So game 1, game 2, we get blown out. Coach throws in the end of the bench. I went in there like a fucking bat out of hell. And I was, I scored 8 points in 2 minutes. And then they were like, well, Kevin goes out. And they're like, well, shit, who are we going to play? I was like, well, fuck, Richards played hard. He played all right. And all of a sudden, you get another opportunity. And one thing that I always used to tell the young players that were mad that they were only playing 10 or 15 minutes. And I was like, hey, 10 or 15 minutes can turn into 10 minutes. It can turn into 5 minutes and it can turn into no minutes. Or 10 and 15 minutes can turn into 20 to 25.
Right.
It just depends on how you take it. So you can be mad about the 15 minutes, but best believe if you go 4 for 4 and you don't make it any defensive mistakes, that 15 minutes is going to turn into 20. Or you can be pissed off and go out there begrudgingly and then all of a sudden it turns into 5 into a DMP. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who taught you that?
God.
Yeah.
Popovich.
Yeah, I was about to say
Popovich.
Is Pop truly, I mean, do you feel so, I mean, what a career, like the things you've gotten to do, but like playing for certain coaches, when does that become a thing of like, oh, it'd be cool to get to be in that system for a minute?
Look, San Antonio people hate me, but
Beto loves you.
Yeah, Beto, I love Beto. But one of my things that I learned in San Antonio, and I know it'll sound very cliche, but it's not your situation that dictates your success. Like, it's how you handle your situation, right? Like, I know that sounds like the fucking title of a book, but it's the truth. It's how you handle it that will dictate your elevation, that will dictate your altitude. And so, like for me, learning in there and again, maturity and learning how to handle some adversity. Like, if you don't handle it well, you could either keep going down that path or you'd be like, hey, the next time I'm in a situation that might not be perfect, I'm going to handle it better. And so like, that was part of the progression for me as I got older and became more of a veteran and a role player. It's like, okay, I might not play, but I'm going to work out. I'm going to do all the things that are needed. And then lo and behold, I got an opportunity to play for a championship.
Yeah, dude. What?
Does he do anything different? What does Pop do that's like? Because I've always wondered when they say coaches like Pop is the best right now, or Bill Belichick is the greatest. Like, what is he doing on a week-to-week basis?
Larry Brown?
Don't ever fucking say that name.
Why?
No, he was my coach in the Olympics. Larry Brown is a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't put him anywhere near the same as a Belichick or anywhere.
Really?
I wouldn't put him anywhere
about
near
Coach
Pop.
Carroll. Pete
Coach Carroll?
Yeah.
I really like Coach Carroll. Oh, yeah. Coach Carroll's damn near 70. Coach Carroll lives like three houses down from me.
Shut up.
Yes, yeah. And
there it is. Kicking with him?
In Hermosa Beach. Yeah, I've played volleyball with him.
He plays volleyball.
Yeah. His daughter.
I sprained my ankle getting out of an Uber two nights ago.
So, what does Pop do that? Because you played for a few coaches.
He just, there is no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is no excuses. And he's like a drill sergeant that you love, right?
Yeah.
And I will not be the player that I grew to be even later in my career without him teaching me and fucking whooping my ass and fucking I just
he's got an angry side.
He says I'm gonna go full fucking Serbian on you. That's what he says. Right? That's what he says. I hope he's Serbian. But yeah, he's just and you know what? He comes from a military background.
Yeah.
You know, went to the Air Force. So like, he's a very like, do your job, no fucking excuses. And he's also behind all of that kind of military. He's a fucking brilliant mind, and he's the president. With a GM, and then the coach. So he's bringing in his players. If he doesn't, he famously waived Steven Jackson right before the postseason a couple years ago because, like, he has that power. Most coaches would go to a president, and it's like, yo, if you're not getting along, it's the postseason. We don't want, you know, he is the judge, the jury, and the executioner. So, like, he controls. He's the one that dictates how much he's going
to
pay you.
Do you play harder for a coach when you do respect him on multiple levels like that, or do you just need to go, all right, he knows his basketball shit and that's it?
Well, you go in there with a lot less questions, and that's why guys have struggled. You look at LaMarcus Aldridge, you look at DeMar DeRozan. There's a transition when you're successful earlier on in your career and then you show up in San Antonio. It's like, hey, we appreciate everything that you've done to get here.
Yeah.
We respect your talent. That's why we have you here. But this is what we're going to need from you.
Right.
And this is how we are going to play.
The ball's not going to go through you. You're not doing ISO ball, nothing like that.
It's like if you've been serving at Applebee's and then you become a manager at Cheesecake Factory. They're like, dude, we love what you've done at the Bees, but we got a bigger menu here.
We got a bigger menu here, so we're going to need you to know a little bit more, all right? And so that's what's different there, and it takes guys a little bit of time to adjust.
Yeah, because not everybody can adjust like that, right?
No, because you understand, you know, guys can be studs in high school, studs in college, go to a franchise, and, you know, all of a sudden get
killed
everything
in
that they want.
In college.
Yeah, done every like you did. And so it's like, and just crush all, you know, for 8 years, be a six-time All-Star, and then you show up to a play. But even if you didn't win a championship, you show up in San Antonio, and he's won five, and he's like, well, okay, that's cool. This is what we're going to do. And that's a mind fuck. That's an emotional change.
You got to check your ego.
At the door.
Which, who's got bigger egos? I mean, when you've won like that and you're going to a situation where you're the guy, right?
Yeah.
Take us to the college. Actually, take us all the way back to when
Wait. Are we going to talk about the college thing and the California now allowing players to get paid? That's awesome, by the way.
I mean,
when did that happen?
Yesterday.
What the fuck have you? Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah,
Gavin Newsom, the governor
signed
in
the bill. So
now it's 4 years out. It's 4 years out.
Right.
I think this is the
greatest thing
to ever happen.
Me too.
Because
it's going to change. It's going to change
now
the NCAA.
California's going to have essentially its own league unless the NCAA steps up.
Well, this is one thing that they haven't addressed is that there's other states with similar bills. So these other states are now starting to propose the bill in California. Yeah. Like, everyone thought California, quote unquote, was a bunch of dumb hippies when they legalized marijuana for medicinal use, you know, 15 years ago. And now half of America is doing the same.
Yeah, legal.
Right?
Yeah.
And
they're
so
paving the way.
Yeah, and there's good and bad things to it. Don't get me wrong. But like what they're basically saying is like, yo, this kid over here who is a snowboarder can have a YouTube channel and make money off of his stuff and be on a full academic scholarship.
Yeah.
But this kid who is playing for this university who has to do all of these extra things, can't get a job, can't do anything.
Is making the school millions,
can't do anything.
When they use his likeness in a video game.
Yeah, and
not
it's
selling his jersey.
Dude,
like,
Reggie
Bush
walking around SC, you would see so many Bush jerseys in the stadium, and I'm like, he's not, like, of course give him a fucking car, man.
Well, and what's tough is, like, and I understand, it's like, you know, Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, you know, he's the highest paid commissioner in college sports at like almost $6 million a year.
Yeah. And that's not even the SEC. Like,
no, that's the thing about it. He's making $6 million a year.
Yeah.
And you know, and they're talking about like these kids that, you know, might make X amount of zero. And understand, they're only in college for 2, 3, possibly 4 years.
Yeah.
This is a short time. Like, he could be the commissioner for the next 10 years, right? That's, and let's say he's doing that. If he's, that he made $60 million being the commissioner of the, and you know, and he does work extremely hard and he's done a lot of great things. And one of the things that you would hear is like, if they're like, hey, commish, what if we, you know, the SEC commissioner, hey, what if we cut your money? Well, wait a second, I work really hard.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so the kid doesn't?
They don't. Well, they're getting a free education, and it's like, okay.
Are they, when they have to go to 2 practices a day, yeah, and they got to like learn game film
kids,
and all that?
And even for kids that are doing that, yeah, right, a lot of kids, when you're going to USC, during your summers, you're doing internships.
Oh, yeah.
During summers, you're working jobs. Mm-hmm. You're getting experience. These kids might try and pursue something, but all summer long, they're training. They're doing rehabbing knee injuries.
Oh, yeah,
they're doing all this other stuff, and it'd just be like, hey, well, you got a degree. You know, you're actually at a deficit. No BS. You go like, oh, well, you're not networking the same as a normal kid, right? And again, there's a lot of different conversations that go on because people have like student loan debts. There's a lot of different stuff.
So like when you saw Tim Tebow do his rant about like how he is totally against that, I know a lot of athletes came out and was like, Tim, This law isn't for you.
Well, yeah. And I get that, and that's the thing, and I think we've lost a little bit of that in this country, not to get too crazy, but of understanding other people's views and respecting other people's views.
Man.
It's like, Tim, cool, when it's time for you to vote no.
Yeah.
But like, and that's fine. And so I'm not gonna be like, fuck you, Tim Tebow. Like, you, what the fuck do you know?
I will. Where's my fuck you, Tim Tebow can? Yeah. Hey, Tebow, shut up.
Like, yeah. So I don't mind that, but I think it's always good to listen to other people's opinions because 100%. You'll never learn more. We don't have to get into the Republican Democrat side, but it's like, yo, listen to what they're saying, some of them.
Yes.
Right? And it's like, you gotta find some middle ground. And I understand what Tebow's saying, but I also understand the other side coming from a kid whose parents work 2 jobs. You know, I could never ask for money, call my parents. If anything, I would like have to like, you know, send $100 home, send $150 home just to help my parents. And these are little bitty things that if I were to do anything, I could risk my eligibility. Right. And
my roommate when I was at USC, he was on the school volleyball team.
Yeah.
I couldn't buy him lunch.
No.
I could buy anyone else lunch.
Yeah. By the way, USC got into a lot of volleyball trouble because their coach was a part of the scandal. Hundreds of thousands of dollars and like illegally recruiting saying that kids were recruits just to get them into USC.
Those guys were fucking just beasts of people, man. I would see them at the gym and just like
that was my roommate.
Who was your roommate?
His name is Josh Feldman. This is like from. He was on the bench, but like
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was like from 03 to 06.
God, you're fucking old.
Four years younger than you.
Take us through the Arizona days, though.
Yeah,
I mean, so when you're playing basketball, where'd you grow up again?
Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love Phoenix. Some of the best comedy clubs, dude.
Great town.
What part?
I grew up in Glendale.
Nice. That's where my dad lived for 10 years.
Not Arena Glendale, like Glendale, like Phoenix Glendale border.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Like maybe 10 minutes from the Arrowhead Mall?
Yeah. So when everyone's like, oh, Glendale, the stadium. Was like, no, that
no,
came.
No. That came later.
That was
later. Later, yeah. So I'm from Glendale.
The giant toaster?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. So I'm a West Side Phoenix kid.
Fuck yeah. Okay. So that must have been extra sweet to play there. Yeah.
Yeah. They won the national championship in 97. And I was a junior. Then in 98, I was like, yo, where else am I going to go? I was like, you know, got Lute Olson and Mike Bibby and Miles Simon. Those guys. Mike Dickerson, Jason Terry.
Dude, talk about like, a guy that I mean, you were talking about Lute guys, Olson. Just some of them not panning out and being great and just not making the transition. I still to this day, I'm like, how did Miles Simon not become?
He was a great college player. Great, great college player. One of the great college players like of his generation. And that's one of those things where like this is a great example. This is a guy that won a national championship, could have been a first round pick, decided to go back to school, and still they lost in the Elite Eight to Andre Miller and a great team, and they were number one in the country, and he was first team All-American, and gets drafted in the second round, sprains his ankle in training camp, and just never got a chance. This guy turned down millions of dollars. Right? Turned down millions of dollars. And if he could have gone to school, he could have made a couple hundred grand on his likeness. He could have done some stuff that could have set him up further.
Yeah.
But like, what do you say to the guy? Do you want guys to go stay in school? If I know that I'm making $50,000 a year that I can help my family out, maybe I'll stay in school longer
actually get that education.
Yeah, and maybe get that education. It's like, dude, I'm good. Like, I'm making $75,000. I'm getting to play basketball. I get to hang out with my buddies. I can have a car and I don't have to worry about the NCAA tracking me down. I don't have to worry about any of that. And that's not for everybody.
Yeah.
We understand that there's a 0.2% people, but if you're not fighting for everyone equally, even if it's those 2% or 0.2%ers, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's pretty insane. And then they talk about like how a lot of kids are now going overseas because they can make money over there. It's like, okay, well, you want the kids to stay here and play in your Final Four and do everything. Then maybe let them make a little money on the side.
Dude, look at what Marbury did. That shit was
make some. And that's at the end of the day, it's like it's hard for me to look at Nick Saban, who's making $6 million, to look at a Calipari that's making $7 million. Yeah. And you're saying, well, this is going to hurt, you know, amateur sports. This is going to hurt the women. Then don't pay those fucking coaches $4 million. Don't pay them $7 million. But the first thing that they're going to say is, well, I make so much money. My thing that I think they should do is, and this is controversial, I think they should cap every college coach in the country. I think the most that they should be able to make is $1 million. And if you've been there for X amount of years, most you can make is $2 million.
Even if you've won?
Even if you won. Yeah. Why? What, like,
what more do you need, man?
Because then you would have less coaches bouncing around. Yeah. Right, which is something that they don't like.
Because then when a coach recruits a kid, that kid wants to go play for that coach.
Yes.
So when the coach leaves in That's 2 years,
yeah, or goes pro or does all this other stuff, and it's like coaches can leave with no penalty.
Right.
Right. Players can't. You have to sit out a year. You can't if you go try and transfer in conference, which could mean you're trying to go closer to home.
Yeah.
You have all these loops and things that you got to go through. Why not cap the college coaches and say the most that you can make is $2 million? Because $2 million is a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And like, look, we saw Nick Saban. He can't just up and go to the NFL. It didn't work out.
Right.
So if it's not like, well, we're going to lose coaches.
He was with the Dolphins. Give him a pro team next time.
Yeah, but look, you know, people have turned things around. Look at what Carroll did.
Yeah.
Like, look what he did to the Seahawks. They hadn't had any type of success like that. Mm-hmm. So like, my thing is this, if you capped how much those guys could make, like, that money now all goes back to the university.
Yeah.
That money now can all go back into the student athletics, into the student body.
The kids.
So, like, don't make it seem like there's not ways to cut other people's pay.
When did you hit your growth spurt? Was it middle school?
Oh, shit.
When did basketball become – was it always just fun? There has to be a point when you're like, NBA now dreams are real.
Yeah, like, now it's business.
You're like, oh, now I'm getting letters.
You know what's so funny for me? I was an idiot. Like, I was a hooper. I just played with my buddies in the park every day. And I showed up. I remember my freshman year, I showed up. I was like 6'1½", taller. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then wore a size 14. And then.
Bucket ball, yeah?
Yeah, I could play a little bit. I could play. And then I was ineligible my whole freshman year. I might have played like 4 games. Failed freshman PE. Like, yeah, so I just didn't dress out. I would like still do the sports. So I'd be like that kid at 14, just sweaty.
Wear these cotton shorts.
Just messing around. Mm. And he failed me, failed freshman PE. And then my you know, again, this is before internet and all this stuff.
Right.
My whole summer, play basketball in the park every day with my buddies. I go from 6'2 to like 6'5½, 6'6. I show back up like skinny and athletic. And my high school coach is like, he like pleaded like, Richard, listen, they had the number one team in the state. They had a really good team. Bibby was the number one team in the higher division. We were the number one team in the next division.
Damn.
Nice. And he was like, Richard, I can't have you on this team with all these seniors if you're going to be ineligible. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, cool. And so then I just went to class and got was on honor roll and pissed everyone off. And then I started
So you had
basketball.
The goods up here.
Oh,
you
I
just
had the
were
goods.
Like,
I just was like, there was no motivation. Like, again, like my brothers didn't graduate high school. There wasn't like, you know, if you don't grow up with around this and you don't grow up with this.
No expectations. Then,
and it's like my parents were just glad that I was staying out of trouble. Right. Yeah. And so.
Why? Because trouble was around a lot?
No. It wasn't that bad. Like we lived in South Central L.A. My mom moved to Phoenix, you know, in the 88 because to get out of South Central. And so it was like we were in a nice area. Now, we didn't have a lot of nice things because all the money went to like living in a nice area.
Right.
So it was like my parents were just like working 2 jobs, working hard. And they were just like, they would drop me off at the park and they knew that at 10 o'clock they would pick me up and I was there. Meanwhile, my brothers were running rampant, acting crazy. So that my high school coach was the first person to be like, do you know what the fuck you can do? And I was like, yeah, yeah, okay. And then and just slowly but surely, he was John Bowie, Moon Valley. He was the one that kind of just took me under his wing. And then slowly but surely, shit kind of went crazy.
Was your work ethic for hoops always, like once you got into it and saw how good you could be, you were like, all right, I need to do what's necessary to.
Yeah, I just, I love to play. Yeah. Like I will say this, and I had a better work ethic later in my career, right? But I love to compete. That was my channel. That was my outlet. Like competitiveness. Like, yeah, let's go. And I wanted to play every sport as a kid. I would have been the kid that would have played football, would have played like Little League. I would have done all of that. But we just didn't have the resources. We didn't have my parents weren't going to be able to buy cleats. I was growing out of shoes every 15 minutes to buy cleats and pay $100 to play in Little League. So like when the Little League lights were on by my house, I would go to like the elementary school and shoot hoops at night and like go joke with my buddies that were like in, you know, sixth, seventh grade.
What was draft day like?
Draft day was crazy, man. Like, you know, I just remember, like, you know, David Stern. I was one of the first guys that didn't get invited to the green room. So basically, a little short story, teams were talking shit about me. So I was supposed to go like 10 to 20 somewhere.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they'd had some bad history in the green room, guys sitting there too long, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right.
You know, Rashard Lewis fell to the second round, came out of high school. It worked out well. It worked out well for your Sonics.
Yeah.
And so they were like really, and teams were like talking shit about me, hoping that I would drop. So I was working out in Charlotte, and they're like, hey, how'd you shoot the ball in Houston? I was like, oh, I shot the ball really, really well. Probably the best I shot. They're like, oh, well, they told us you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And I was like, oh, either way, when we called and we're like, hey, Richard Greenwood, they're like, well, we don't have him in the lottery. I was the first person picked. I was in the lottery, but I was the first person picked, not in the green room. So I was at home. I was at home hanging out.
Holy shit.
But I just remember closing my eyes when I felt like I was going to get drafted. I was like, Houston, I had a great workout. It was the only time I did it. And Radmon went before me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I closed my eyes. And they're like, with the 13th pick, Houston Rockets select Richard Jefferson. And it was just like, that was
the
first time.
Still get chills thinking about it?
Still to this day. That was the first time it became a reality.
Wow.
So you're with your family? Do they just go?
No, it was a very tense situation. So like my family was at a party, and then after that all went down and I got traded to New Jersey on draft day.
I think I heard that story.
Yeah, I got traded to New Jersey, and then I ended up driving to like 30 minutes to the Point Hilton. That's where we were doing it.
Because who was on that? You said you were pretty bummed, right? Because that Houston team.
Houston team, they had missed the playoffs by like two.
Franchise,
Ketino Mobley. I had a great workout. They were the Houston Rockets. My high school team was the Moon Valley Rockets. Like, I was like stoked. Yeah, awesome. I'm Western Conference.
They got a history of winning.
Yeah, yeah. I get to come to Phoenix twice a year. And all of a sudden they go, New Jersey. And I was like, what the fuck is
that? Still a place?
Like, and the only thing I knew about them is that they had won 20, like, six games that year.
Right.
And we won, like, 28 games in college. And I was like,
oh, man.
But then they traded for Jason Kidd, and the rest was history.
Shortly after, right?
Like a day later.
Wow. Was that just like, I mean.
Oh, I almost wrecked my car on the freeway. Right, because I was like,
because you played against Kidd in college.
No, I didn't play against Kidd in college. He was in playing for the Suns when I was going to college.
Oh, okay.
So I'd known him.
Oh, then you've seen him.
So I saw him, and I was just like, this is a dream. As an athlete, those are guys that you want to play with, right?
Do they hook it up when you're in college to go to pro games if you're a star?
No,
because that would violate NCAA rules.
No, you're not allowed because it's just
okay.
And you know, it was a different time.
But you know how dope he was.
Yeah, because you would watch all his highlights. Yeah. It was like Jason Kidd, John Stockton, Steve Nash. These are guys that you dream about playing with.
Also, your style
of
ball.
Magic Johnson. I'm from the West Coast, and we played up and down, and like those are the things that you just dreamt about playing, like catching lobs from Jason Kidd, right? And it's like, I like
you
catching
did,
lobs,
yeah.
right? And
yeah. What was that like?
Yeah,
could you just tell, were those balls, because GP would tell us, him in the Rain Man, he said he'd do a little like, gee-gee, and then Kemp knew it was coming.
It was coming.
Mm-hmm. But like sometimes just, even he said I could throw it higher, and like you got hops.
So the funniest thing is, I would never forget this, like it was preseason, and Jason, Kenyon Martin, who is a pogo stick.
Yeah.
Dude.
Pogo stick, right?
That's insane.
And so Kenyon, like he would throw these lobs at Kenyon. And I remember I missed a couple of lobs, like twice. And I'm sitting here like petrified, like one of my heroes, my idol. And I don't want him to stop throwing me lobs. And I was like, hey, Jay, like, hey. And I like went to him like a kid. I went to him like a kid.
Mr. Kid.
I'm like 21. I'm like, Mr. Kid, sir. I was like, hey. And it was like the hardest thing I think I'd ever said to him. And I was like, hey, I don't jump like Kenyon. Like, as Kenyon, you put it to a spot, and he just straight up to that spot.
Yeah.
I was like, you have to put loft on it, and then I can go get it. And I'm like petrified to like, he's going to ask a follow-up question or just be like, or I just don't throw you lobs. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. And he goes, all right. And I was, and that was it. That was it. And he was just so amazing and so good. And to me, probably the best ever at throwing lobs. Yeah. Best ever, because Magic Johnson had all of this.
Right.
But it wasn't lobs. It wasn't lobs.
Also, for him to know just to like take a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a quarterback that can like, there's lines and there's that loft and there's over that second tier and over the first defender.
And he knows
before the free safety. Like
he knows how to do that.
He was just like, all right. And then after that, this man could throw me half court lobs like it was nothing.
That squad arguably, I mean, obviously you went to the finals. Yeah. And, but like, dude, Kittles, Van Horn. I mean, was it as crazy and fun as it looked to watch?
It was, because we had like, we were picked to finish second to last in our conference because no one had knew. And Jason Collins, Scalabrine, we had a lot of guys. And then all of a sudden we just meshed so well and we became, you know, a perennial like Eastern Conference powerhouse.
One of my friends asked me to ask you this question.
Are you good for like 5-10 more?
Yeah.
He said, is it true that when he was struggling during one of his finals with the Nets, that he went to a local YMCA to get shots in? And if so, why a YMCA instead of the facilities that you had access to as an NBA player?
Well, you know, you have to understand too, like
they, shout out JV Ball.
Yeah. You only have access to like the other team's practice facilities for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
You only have access to their arena for a certain amount of time. So you don't really have access to gyms 24 hours a day.
Gotcha.
So if you want to go get shots up at 9 o'clock, there's a whole ordeal.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go get shots up at 8 p.m., like a lot of guys go at home, like in Dallas, they do a really good job. They have the nightclub where it's like you have a time slot. So it's like if you want to go get shots in at night, it's like, hey, here's your shot slot from 7 to 7:30, 7 to 7:20, and they'll slot everybody in. So you don't have to, but if you want to go get extra shots, there's going to be people there. There's going to be water. You can get ice, everything.
Oh, wow.
And so they have like, but there's not like, you're not going to call somebody at 8:15 and say, hey, you want to meet me there at 8:30? It's like, no, they actually are professionals and they give you a slot from like 8 to 9.
Gotcha.
The gym will be open.
Gotcha.
And but that's at home for Dallas. On the road, it's a little bit more difficult, so you have to find a YMCA or something, and then that's how guys get extra shots.
Can you imagine just walking to a YMCA and you see Richard Jefferson, who you just watched in the NBA finals, like, want to go one-on-one?
I'll give you a funny story.
When
we play, I had a buddy that went to Assumption College just in Worcester, Massachusetts. So
Worcester.
So when we were playing in the Celtics, he would, like, after the game, like, we played him in the postseason twice, he would drive and pick me up, and then I would drive to that college town, like, 90 minutes away, get full on hammered. Like college drunk.
Hammered.
Yeah, drinking like $2 you call it. It's like Jaeger bombs.
Getting fucked up, that kid in Worcester.
Fucked up out there. And then just like, kids are being like, I just saw you in the fucking on NBC. Like, what the? And it's just like, crazy.
You're like, I'm NBC drunk.
And you know, you had like 2 days in between. Great song, too, by the way. And
then John Tesh.
Yeah, John Tesh. We talking about that's the intro to our podcast. The John Tesh, the Round Ball Classic. Round Ball Rock.
How did you pick that? How do you not pick that?
Well, no. And so I called. I was like, yo, that's awesome. I remember we were talking about it. And then I was like, I called to see who had rights. I had a friend that's in the music industry. I was like, hey, can you see? And they were like, yeah, sure, take it. No one's using it. And so, no one was using it.
I lost my virginity to that.
Yeah,
song.
No one's using it for the. No one was using it for like podcasts. So I can't use it on television. We can't use it for anything like on like that. But you can use it as an intro to our podcast. We're the only ones that have rights to it. Isn't that cool?
Fucking A, dude.
No one asked.
It's literally.
Don't ask, you don't get.
I mean, I'm sure you watched growing up too.
Yes.
Like the NBA and NBC is.
I was so bummed because it changed. Like
ABC,
my rookie year was the last year was on NBC. And then the next year it changed.
So did you ever get on a NBA and NBC game?
Yeah. Because we went to the finals my rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like,
you see Marv Albert on the side. You're like,
even now, Bill Walton, Snapper Jones. Costas' intro.
Richard Jefferson's got a
How do you not give him the ball more?
If anybody wants to go back and see how fucking unfair it was for Michael Jordan, and when they talk about the Jordan rules, you go back and watch some of those old Bob Costas like intros, and it was like, will this be the final moment for Michael Jordan? And like they start playing like Come Fly With Me.
Yeah.
And like, I believe I can fly.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is an intro for Michael Jordan. Is there another team playing?
Yeah.
It's like a 2-minute Bob Costas intro for just Michael Jordan. You didn't know who they were playing.
Yeah.
And it was the finals. Jordan and you're Rose. Like, if you're the Utah Jazz, you're like, fuck, do we have
I mean,
a chance? Like,
I only got Stockton Malone over
here.
Yeah,
like two Hall of Famers went to the playoffs 19 straight
dude,
years.
Dude, I'll rewatch old Sonic Bulls finals games just because like that.
GP.
I mean, look, and GP even said, he's like, if me and Nate were healthy and had gotten on Mike earlier, maybe we would have gone 7. The fact that we even pushed it to 6 was great because going down 0-3.
And they were great.
They were unreal, dude.
They were unreal.
And that Supes team was so good, but we just... You know, if we'd gone there a year before or if Sean stayed, whatever. But it was so biased because you listen to Walton, and again, it was so Jordan heavy. They do Jordan intros, and then every play that Jordan didn't get the ball or would get fouled, Walton would go, how do you call a foul on Michael Jordan? He goes, how do you do this? It's one of the greatest plays. Detlef Schrempf, you're going to tell me he doesn't foul? You're like, dude,
great Bill Walton, by the way.
Such a mean dude.
Yeah, and
I'd love to get high with him, but I was like, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah, I know, but and it's one of those things, too, where it's like you look back on it, and that's why, not that he didn't have a little like boost from the league, but that was one of the things about MJ, they could do a 3-minute intro on him, and then he just delivered.
I know,
he delivered
dude.
Yeah. Every time he
you
showed
you
up.
Watch the intros.
Fucking, oh, I would go back and watch. I literally probably when we got the audio like permission, I went back and probably spent hours watching like old Bob Costas intros because Bob Costas is a legend.
Dude.
Like top 5 to ever do it, right? And so it's like, you know, watching those intros and like you get goosebumps because that's like our childhood. NBA on NBC, you would get the Knicks, you get the Pacers, you would get the Miami Heat, you would get sometimes you would get the Lakers, like cause it was like the early Shaq years, and then
you would get the Suns,
but they weren't that sexy. You would get a lot of the Supersonics, the Nuggets, you would get them a little bit, but it was mainly Knicks, Pacers, who else? Indy because they were really really good. Those were the main ones that I would, and the Bulls, that's who you would get.
Yeah. Now, are there, because you talk about the Jordan rules, are there times, like, now in the league where, because I've heard refs, players say that refs will yell them like, dude, you're not getting that call. Like,
will
you get things like that?
Yeah, 100%. And it's like one of those things where you have to understand, like, If you're a referee and I see this guy shoot the ball 28 times, right, versus someone that I see you shoot the ball 3 times, like you're like yes, I'm paying more attention to this guy because he's doing more. And so there's a level to it. But even look, no NBA player has ever fouled, and every superstar has been fouled on every shot he's ever taken. Yeah. Those are just things that we have to accept.
There you go.
We just have to accept.
Before we wrap up, I want to know a moment in your career where you got so genuinely frustrated, and how did you turn that around? Like, whether it was a game or a confrontation with a player that you didn't anticipate, or with a coach, and then I want to know who was the most fun to play with, and who did you dread playing against?
You know what? For me, I would say that you know, dread is such a tough word.
Fear?
No. I'm saying dread in the sense of like a situation that probably didn't go as well. I, you know, that San Antonio thing for me, which has been well documented, but I learned so much from Pop and I and Chip England and Tim Duncan to this day. Like, he, you know, every once in a while, if he has one too many of those Caribbean rums, he might shoot me a text and talk some stupid shit. Like, I know, like, when I found out he was going to be a coach this year, I was like, dude, my entire career, I've always said you were the most intelligent person that I've been around. This is the dumbest fucking thing that you've ever fucking done, right? It is the dumbest thing. But you know, he's like, him and Pop and they are so awesome. But I think dreading is tough because like guys like Kobe Bryant, even LeBron, these guys are going to shoot 25 times. They're going to shoot 30 times. So you just, Bron went for 55 one
Kobe's going to shoot MJ, 79
MJ,
times in a game.
MJ went for 40 against us, those Nets teams.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing.
I was going to say.
Because he was on the Wizards.
He was on the Wizards.
Were there certain guys that you couldn't help but just like, when you're on the court, you're like, what the fuck,
dude? MJ. I'll say this. Latrell Sprewell was the. So
love
I was,
Latrell.
Yeah, love Latrell. So my rookie year, first time I'm ever checking in the game, it's a preseason game. We're playing the Knicks. He's on the team. And coach looks at me. He's like, hey, go get Carey. And I was like, all right, I'm checking in. First time ever in my life in the NBA game. Still preseason. And I'm like,
another
all right.
Chills moment.
Another chills moment. He's like, you got Latrell. And I was like, the guy that just fucking choked.
Welcome to the NBA, kid.
Welcome to the NBA. And it was
can't guard LJ?
Yeah. I was like, is there anybody else that I can guard? No, but like, that was it. Like, you're getting up. And you have like this whole like wave of emotion. Like the first time you're checking into a game, you're like going in and you're playing in the Knicks and it's preseason in like Connecticut. It means nothing.
Right.
But like for you as a kid, the first time you get in, and all of a sudden they're like, you got Latrell Sprewell. And you're like, excuse me? Excuse me. So that was cool. And Latrell's the nicest guy.
He is, yeah.
Nicest guy of all time. Such a great competitor. Love him. But it was like, all I knew as a 20-year-old kid was that he got suspended and PJ Carlissimo had scars on his neck.
Yeah. Dude. That's all.
I was like, I don't want to foul him. I don't know if I want to guard him.
You seem like you had fun every time you played, but there had to have been a game where you just like, whether you had, you know, 2 points and 15 assists or 20 and 20, whatever it was career-wise, like, was there a game that you remember where you were like, man, top to bottom, I felt like I was the best Richard Jefferson and I had the most fun and you were truly just like, God, like, I'm so glad I get to play this game.
Every day. I know you say that. And like some days are, and it's all like, you know, it's all on a curve, right? But every day, and even like as my career, you know, wound down as my career wound down, it was one of those things where it's just like I just started enjoying different elements. I would talk to the referees more. I would talk to the random fans,
even Joey
more.
Crawford.
He would just even Joey, right? Joey, like, even so, he did the last game that Joey ever did. He hurt his knee in one of our games, in one of our games that we were playing, and I knew he was kind of hurt and he was getting old.
Yeah.
So, you know, a knee injury for him could be, you know, so I went into the locker room, went to the referee's locker room, which I'd never done in my career, knocked on the door, and I was like, how you doing? He's like, you know, I should have called it quits after last year. I knew I should have called quits. And I was like, well, just know, man, like, it's been an honor. Because these guys are as much a part of the game.
Yeah,
and
dude,
even though fans hate them and we get on their fucking nerves and we hate each other, like, they're a part of it. Like, you grow up watching Joey. You grow up watching these referees, Steve Jabb. You grow up watching these guys. And so it's just, you know, to see, you know, a legend and, like, be there in his last game. And I had referees come up to me 2 months later, be like, hey, I heard what you did with Joey. Like, that's super awesome. Like, and I was like, dude, you guys are traveling the same amount as we do.
Sure.
You're doing everything that we care.
With none of the love.
None of the love. And
there's no ref groupies.
Yeah, and you're doing as much as you can.
Joey Crawford's like, not getting like some tail after the game, going to the nightclub, making it. Maybe Joey Crawford was.
Also,
yeah,
like, you have a bad game as a ref, you come back, people hate you more. You have a bad game as a player, they're like rooting for you to turn it around, hopefully.
Yeah, and now with Twitter and like analytics, and they're like, well, we're 2-7 whenever this person, and you're just you're just like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Just fucking go play. Make more shots.
Yeah.
How does Woj get all his damn information?
He is a wizard. Right.
Yeah.
He uses wizardry that not a lot of people have.
Do you get texts? Because I'll
say this.
You find out what's happening with your knee from Woj. You don't even.
Woj is.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well, like, I know my doctor said I'm out for 2 weeks,
let me say this about Woj.
Yeah.
Woj is very, very serious about his job. Like, we think it's sports, and it is. But Woj is very, very serious. He's a person that could be working for Time Magazine or the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. Like, he's one of those people that, like, if he had gone a different route in, like, his journalistic view, he could be up for, like, Nobel Peace Prizes.
He
for,
could
like,
be the guy
breaking
that
a
finds
story.
Out
he
who
could,
the whistleblower
yeah,
is.
Yeah, whistleblower.
Trump.
He
could have
been
the
person because he just knows how
but
to
instead,
do that. But he takes it very, very seriously, and that's a credit to him and his craft, and he was one of the first, if not the first, to really go about it that way.
Yeah, him and Schefter,
but just,
man.
But just understand that, like, Woj doesn't – I joke. Woj doesn't joke as much as other people do because he is a very
All
serious
business.
Journalist. He's very, very serious, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Like I said, we talked about Democrat. You got to respect other people's side. So I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask him, but – I stay out of what.
Does Woj have your mom's number? Like, does
he
text her?
He has everyone's number. Woj works for the NSA, right? That's what people don't know, right? Like, he's hacked into this computer. You hear me saying all of these nice things about Woj.
Yeah.
It's like, Woj,
he's already
don't
heard
hack
him.
Me. He's already heard this.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, motherfucker. That's
what
she
said. He knew what the gender of Brad's baby was before.
He sent that question to you.
Yeah.
He sent that question to you.
He knows I'm not really a dwarf and that I just use it for the... As a gimmick,
he had your legs surgically shortened.
He knows.
So cool.
Yeah,
he knows.
Shout out to Woj.
Shout out to him.
So you're on the jump all the time.
Yes.
Right? Road tripping, obviously.
I'm doing road
tripping.
Check
it out. Are you doing any way out here?
Yeah. No. So I just did. So I just found out I'm gonna be calling games for ESPN.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
You guys are the first people that I've shared that with.
Dude. Can I be honest? Knew that
that's
was
awesome.
Happening.
Look, this is my first year, so like my wife hates me, but I'm completely honored because I'm calling Christmas Day game. I'm calling
Bro.
Celtics. Yes. Christmas Day.
That's,
like, yeah,
that's
like
the
that's
shit.
Like, yeah, it's a shit. Like,
dude,
I'm gonna
mean,
miss my kids. I love them. I'll send them a letter. But
yeah,
it's
dude.
Like,
hey,
Yeah, well, I, like
watch them on the TV. You'll do a tug on your ear, or you'll do their favorite catchphrase to let them know.
Daddy's sending home stuff. But yeah. No, so I get to call Christmas Day game, which for me, man, like,
good for you,
if you're going to get into this business, like, whatever you do and anything, try and be the best. So when I found out, like, we were at dinner a couple of days ago, Maria Taylor, they were doing a countdown, because I'm going to be doing countdown some this year and they lean over, it's like, yeah, we have you calling some Christmas games. And I look over Maria and I'm like, I just found out 30 seconds ago that I'm calling games for ESPN. Then like later in dinner, he's like, yeah, I think Christmas Day is one of the games. I'm not sure what game it's like. I was like, Maria, I just found out 10 seconds ago. And I'm like sitting here trying to play it cool, but
right.
I'm so honored and I'm
you
so
get
humbled.
To throw I, to I, Doris yeah, Burke.
Oh my God. It's like, dude, like that.
Who's
that,
in your squad? Oh, so yeah, Mike Green.
I don't know all the details, okay. But like this is just kind of like I got this information like literally just kind of stumbled out to me in the last
dude,
couple
I'm
of
so
days.
Pumped for
so
you,
I'm
man.
So excited. So I get to do that. I'm still gonna be doing Get Up a ton, which I love. Greenberg is a legend.
Yeah,
he is,
all
huh?
Time. Greenberg is all like when you watch people, and you're like, you're really fucking good at your job, right? Like Greenberg. Rachel Nichols is another one I get to work with on the jump.
You
so,
and Jalen are
yeah, Jalen's all I mean, time.
Like,
so
another guy, you and him, I feel like are at the top.
And
because
Jalen's one of those people that as soon as I saw if I want to be great in this job, like you're somebody that I have to look at. Right, I don't want to be you, but you're somebody that I have to look at, and so Jalen's one of those people. But yeah, I'm so excited, man. The fact that I get to call games for ESPN,
yeah, dude.
And I still get to call a ton of games for the Brooklyn Nets. I get to work with Ian Eagle, who is
Ian Eagle,
time.
Come
Ian
on,
Eagle, the Eagles all time, right?
Yeah,
and so
dude.
All of those things, man. I've been so blessed and so fortunate that you know, again, doing road tripping helped me. I learned so many things, and for all you kids out there, anything that you want to do in your fucking life, just get reps, right?
Get reps, whatever it is.
Get
you want to be a director? Start directing.
Start just fucking make up your own shit.
Yeah, and everything leads to other opportunities, even if you don't see like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Because I'm sure with Road Tripping, you were like, I don't know what this is going to pan out to, but I'm going to put all in on this.
It's the dumbest fucking thing we ever thought of. And next thing you know, like everyone, like we have 100,000 downloads, 200,000 downloads in episodes. And you're like, okay, I guess people like it. I guess we'll keep doing it.
And you know, people are watching, like all these ESPN, like they know about it. Yeah. Then they listen. They're like, oh, this guy can articulate and be relatable.
Yeah, and I'm not even that good yet. And I mean that from a standpoint is like, I just finished my rookie season as a broadcaster. So my goal is to be better in year two, year five.
Gotta
year
get your catchphrases.
Gotta get you my catchphrases, right?
You got any?
No. Damn it. Mark Jackson stole fucking all the best ones. He's got all the best ones.
Oh,
Bill Walton's got great ones.
Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Can you just start like taking like pre-existing slogans like ba da ba ba ba? I love that.
Love that. Or throw it down, big fella.
Oh, yeah. Now, there was a guy who used to call hockey for the Florida Panthers who would take requests from the audience. So after every goal, he'd be like, he shoots, he scores. Make me a bicycle, clown. Like, he would just... He just does quotes.
I might have to do that. Like, give me something that I have to mix into the broadcast.
Get your dunk call.
Tonight. And you know what? Ian Eagle, who is... amazing, right? Ian Eagle has won all the awards as a broadcaster. He is so good. There is nothing that you can shoot at him. Like, I remember, like, in like, I try and push my limits in anything I do. I remember he was like, so, you know, blah, blah, blah is going to be doing color commentary. And I was like, hey, Ian, we prefer the term African-American. He's like, it's like, oh, Richard, I see you haven't quite learned the broadcasting terminology yet. And I know, but we're just, and it's just like, you're so fucking good that like I can't even rattle you.
Yeah,
like, I threw a racist joke at you that you could not touch.
Dude, well, you shake it
because he's got to know how to do it when he's on the broadcast and some fan drunkenly yells some
so
stuff
good.
And the mics pick it up.
I did one. We were talking about nicknames and stuff. And he's like, "Did Channing Frye have any nicknames for me?" I was like, "Nah, he used to call me Dick." And he was like,
"As in Nixon?"
And I was like, "Ian, that is my name." Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, and so the Cavs score another two-pointer, and it's just like, and it's like that's fun. It's like you're pushing the limits in things that like are like normal, but it's like, you know, to have a professional next to you that even if you go too far or you're put like he's got your back 100%.
Oh, so
he's so good.
So your name is Richard, so you can give players Dick names,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
there
yeah,
you
yeah.
go. So yeah. Shaq's got Shaq and a Fool. You could have Dick names.
Yeah, Dick names.
The Dick of the Week.
The Dick of the Week. Yeah,
Richard's Dick pick.
Richard's Dick pick.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God, dude.
We just did it.
We're going to get it.
I'm not even kidding.
The Dick pick of the week.
Doris Burke is going to be 1,000%. Like, and now for the dick pic of the week.
I might have to legally change my name to Dick to get it through.
Dick
Richard. But like my name Jefferson. Is now Dick Jefferson, everybody. Yeah. But yeah, dick pic of the week. I think it's awesome.
That's
genius.
Unreal,
guys.
Dude.
Guys.
Who's going to win the Christmas Day game? Let's go to the dick pic of the week.
Dick pic of the week.
Holy shit.
Yes,
ESPN,
that is
make
so
it happen.
Awesome. It's going to happen. I'm going to get it done.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm going to. I said something the other day. It was like, I was talking, because we have all this stuff that you don't know if you can get it in.
Yeah,
sure.
And one of our producers, Nick Tufts, who's my guy for Get Up, he was just like, I said something. I was like, you think I can get away with this? He's like, I don't know, try it. So I was like, yeah, you see this? This is called coaches porn. This is what coaches get excited about.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, okay, apparently you can say coaches porn.
Awesome,
now.
Dude.
Like, this is what coaches.
This is why you're gonna flourish, dude. Yeah. Because that kind of shit, man, is just a little bit more connectability and a little bit more like real people shit.
Did he just say coaches porn? It's like, yes.
And guess what it is?
Because this is literally what our coaches would say to us in film sessions. He's like, see this? Look at this defense. Look at this scramble. Look at the dial. See, that's coaches porn. This is what we watch when we're home by ourselves.
Dude, you're gonna tell me George Karl didn't get hard thinking he figured out how to stop Mutombo?
Oh my God, yeah, 100%. And that's the thing, is like, for me, it's just trying to have that type of fun.
Yeah.
But dick pick of the week is
tuning.
That's got to be worth at least a couple free tickets.
That is definitely 100%. Okay, guys, this is right. Not going to, hopefully you guys will have me back on the podcast.
Dude, anytime.
Done and done.
Dude.
It's fun, man.
Every time
we go to
here.
New York all the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and
so.
we'll do it in season when there's like topical shit going on. Not just,
dude.
Not just all
well, we
that.
We travel all the time, too. There's got to be times when our cities are going to cross over.
Absurdly.
All right. Well,
amount.
Tune into ESPN this NBA season for all season,
of
for
any
all,
show
for
on
all
ESPN,
the dick pics of the week.
Crushed, yeah,
dude.
All the dick pics of the week.
And Road Tripping, get it anywhere, right? Get it anywhere.
Guys, we need a graphic. That's going to be. That's going to
the
be.
The graphic is the biggest part of this.
The graphic, we got to get a graphic.
I mean,
I think
you're
I'm
bald.
Start, I'm
can
gonna,
you do like a little line down the middle of your head? Dick pic of the week.
What was that, Cool Runnings? What if I draw a line down your head and make you
look like a butt?
What does it look like a butt?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, Cool Runnings all the time. Feel the rhythm. Feel the ride.
Dude.
Yeah, guys.
We had Raul Davis on who played Junior Bevel.
Yeah, dude.
Told some of the greatest Cool Runnings. If you want a pod to go back and listen to, I'll send you just that audio part.
Send it
how
to
he
me.
Got it, dude. He was a reader for the casting office that was doing that. And they were like, because he's from Trinidad.
Yep.
Not Jamaican, but they were like, you know, you're from Jamaica. He's like, yeah, I'm from Jamaica. And he's from Trinidad. So they had him do the accent, which they thought was the accent, but it wasn't. And they were like, all right.
There was a lot of terrible Jamaican accents. A lot. Right. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. It's like that was like the
never
extent.
Never heard someone say
that.
That
was like
dude,
the extent
never.
Of that shit. So, no, man. No, guys, I would love
you're
to
the greatest,
fun,
dude. This
man.
Was such
a
fun
hang, man.
Thanks for being so cool, too, man. Just like bumping into you, and it was like,
that's what the thing. It's like a pretty girl, right? It's like all you gotta do is ask her out on a date. Like people are just like, hey, you wanna come on a podcast? Sure.
I tried to keep it brief too, man, because like I was telling my buddy, because he goes, that was fucking my buddy also who was with me, who you know, huge NBA fan, Pistons guy, like a diehard listener, Road Trip, and he was like, that was unbelievable. He's like, is he really gonna do it? I was like, I don't know. I tried to keep it brief and just like.
Yeah, you asked,
facts.
You asked me for my email address, which was cool. And I'm new to Instagram. People are like, oh, send me a DM. I don't really do all that stuff.
Send me a dick pic.
Yeah, send me a dick pic. I'm definitely doing dick pics of the week. I cannot.
Richard, it's going. It's I'm telling you, dude,
it's
that's
done.
Going to be like
this audio.
You're gonna Trump Shaq and the
gonna,
fool,
we're
dude.
Gonna, we're yeah. gonna we're gonna definitely do it. That we're definitely
Christmas
done.
Day, dude.
Done. My dick pic of the week.
All right, everyone, tune in to ESPN this Christmas. You will get a dick pic.
Best present ever.
You will get Richard dick pic.
Dude, people are gonna start. Dude, there's gonna be a whole meme. Like, can I get
a
dick pic from Richard?
You are
gonna replace crying Jordan.
Oh my God. I got it. We got to figure this out. This is going to be awesome. So thank
and
you
and Richard Jefferson on Instagram and Twitter, right?
Richard A. Jefferson on Instagram, and then Twitter, it's rjeff24.
Fuck yeah.
Right.
Yeah, awesome, guys. Good times.
You're the
thanks,
best,
buddy.
Thanks.
It's about last night.
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here. Hey, question for you. You know when you find something immediately become that annoying friend that's like, hey, have you tried this yet? Well, that's me with Loreen. I started with the gum because I'm a coffee guy and apparently my teeth and I have not always been on the same team, but now they got these Loreen pouches and I've been reaching for them before recording a pod, driving in the car, or whenever I need a little boost without another cup of coffee. All you do is you just tuck one in and go about your day. Each pouch has 50 milligrams of caffeine, about a half a cup of coffee, plus L-theanine and alpha GPC for smooth, steady focus with no energy crash. It comes in mint, cinnamon, and mango, and it's nicotine-free, baby. Always put the pouch in your mouth and feel better about yourself. Every other pouch out there makes you pick between something that helps you focus and something that's actually good for your teeth. This is the only one that's designed to do both, and it comes from a brand that's leading the way of supporting your oral health. Give Laureen a try right now. Laureen Co. is offering my listeners 50% off at buylaureen.com/ALN. Did you hear me right? That's buylaureen, LARINE.com/ALN for 50% off. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good deal. Steady your focus, increase your energy, and live a better life today with Laureen.
I want to date with rules, Carti says. Rules? Rocker asks. This is the love story of real Hinge couple Carti and Rocker. Written and read by me, Nicola Dynan. Listen to the free audiobook now.
We're surrounded by alien foes. The fate of the galaxy depends on us.
We fancy a Mackey's? There are daily offers waiting in the McDonald's app.
But the universe...
The main mission can wait. Unlock daily offers in the McDonald's app now. 18 plus app only. Different offers available each weekday and on weekends until the 27th of September. Check app for details. Subject to availability. Fees apply to delivery. One use per day.
Hi, I'm Cassidy.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're the hosts of Drinking the Kool-Aid, a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious.
Tune in every week while we cover two chilling tales about everything from cults
to aliens
to the paranormal,
all with a sense of humor.
So grab a drink
and tune in to Drinking the Kool-Aid wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, friends. It's Dan Wilbur.
And Zach Sims, and we're the hosts of My New Thing, a comedy podcast about obsessions.
It's a show where we talk to comedians about their niche hobbies and their pop culture fixations.
Everything from graffiti to 70s cinema and really anything in between. It's called My New Thing. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.